On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You have aligned to the Assembly's Democratic Minority Leader, Gordon Hintz. And so here's a roadmap to start us out. We'll look at what lawmakers can do about the surging pandemic and unvaccinated Wisconsinites, an election audit under the direction of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and we start with Wisconsin's unprecedented tax collections. Record-breaking estimates continue to blow past expectations. How do you think the state should spend the extra $319 million in tax revenue it collected? 800-642-1234. Democratic Representative Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Kate.
Good morning. Let's start with those tax collections. Wisconsin bringing in $19.6 billion in tax revenue in the 2020-2021 fiscal year. That's 12% higher year over year. We're in the strongest fiscal shape compared to any recent budget cycle. What's going on?
Well, I mean, the good news is Wisconsin's economy, and really a credit to President Biden's recognition of the importance of an infusion of federal investment during the pandemic, and really Governor Evers' leadership on getting our vaccinations distribution plan around the state done early. We've seen a recovery that I think has outpaced the nation. Our unemployment is much lower than the national average. And, you know, the revenues have reflected the fact. I think we all were nervous, you know, 18 months ago, what kind of implosion was going to take place. And of course, you know, we find ourselves in a good place before the budget was passed, and we still have an opportunity. I think the challenge at the state level is we, despite record amounts of revenue, we really missed the need that was out there in terms of increasing the investment in K-12 education, in the UW system, in support for local government and public safety. And now that we know that we have actually more revenue, I think it's really important that we revisit those decisions, as Governor Evers has called on Republicans to do.
And your Republican colleagues say it's the tax cuts that are driving this strong financial position. Do you think there's something behind that?
Well, look, anytime that there's more money in people's pockets, especially those who spend their money, that always contributes to things. But look, even the Fiscal Bureau, who puts out the information related to our budget surplus and financial data, gave credit primarily to the Biden administration and to the Evers administration's vaccine rollout as driving the success of what we're seeing in terms of economic growth. So, you know, Republicans can try to say, no, it was us. But, you know, zero people are saying that, at least according to our fiscal estimates.
How would you like to see the extra money be spent?
Well, I'd like to see it. You know, we have a tax cut in the budget already. If you have record amount of revenue and you know you have tremendous need in our school districts, you know, it still makes no sense to me at a time of record revenue that we put almost no new money directly into the classrooms in our state at a time that we know it's incredibly challenging and uncertain related to COVID, the impact on students of a year off and some of the mental health needs that are out there. Districts are going to be in a position, as we've already heard from them, because their costs and demands have gone up, but their money is largely going to be flat, where they're going to be faced in the next year with teacher layoffs or going to referendum to increase property taxes. And we have the resources. We have the resources to make those investments. And so that would be, you know, a big one. Same with local governments and UW system. I mean, how have we made the least investment in the last decade, you know, in both of these core entities in the state at a time when we have record revenue? So I think, you know, the surplus announcement and the balance that we have on hand, I think, puts the state in an opportunity where we really can revisit those things. We can have tax cuts. We can make investments in education, in local government and public safety, and in our UW system, and not just play politics.
I want to pause there on local governments, you know, the state being flush, but municipalities aren't necessarily in that boat. The state's expenditure restraint program provides, you know, additional state aid to qualifying municipalities that limit growth in spending. And that program remains at the same level, $58 million annually. Should that be increased?
We should be looking at how do we direct more state resources through either the shared revenue program or tweaking some of the other formulas out there to get more money into our local communities. We're over-reliant on the property tax, and we've curbed that. The governor proposed giving local governments alternative revenue options like state cities and other states have. But the answer is yes. I mean, we gotta plow the streets, pick up the garbage, and police the streets. But even those things are, you know, having a hard time being funded right now. But if our future is based on quality of life and our ability to invest in communities that are going to be able to attract people to our state, the state's got to be a better partner. And this was the opportunity. You know, we've got a lot of one-time federal money coming to communities for some infrastructure things. But the state really missed the opportunity, and I'm afraid it was tied more to 2022 politics than to what was best for our state.
Talking with Gordon Hintz, Democratic Minority Leader of the State Assembly, as we look at pressing issues before lawmakers and taking your concerns as well at 800-642-1234. We're going to switch gears here and look at the pandemic with Maddie joining us from De Pere. Hi, Maddie. What is on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a question. I hope he can answer. I've checked with several of the hospitals in the Green Bay area, and they're kind of stingy about how often they'll use the monoclonal antibodies. And there was a hospital in Appleton that I called. It sounded like they didn't even have it. So I'm wondering, did Eli Lilly cut a special deal with the Republican Party? You know, down in Florida, the governor was handing it out like candy.
Well, Maddie, I want to pause there. And Maddie is talking about these antibodies that are therapy and treatment for COVID patients. Any insights there, Representative Hintz?
No. You know, and I think it's been important for politicians to try to not wade too far into discussions of antibodies and some of the healthcare treatments, you know, that are out there. I think if we're having challenges getting the best kind of treatments that are available, and if it's about supply and access, I think, you know, working with the Department of Health Services, we can. But I'm not familiar with anything like that. I know we have great hospitals in our state who I know are working tirelessly to try to make sure they're as prepared as possible to take care of not only their patients, but their staff as well.
You know, the rate for new COVID infections in Wisconsin climbing steadily, now more than 1,500 new cases per day on average. What do you want to see out of you and your colleagues in the legislature? What action should the legislature take at this point in the pandemic?
Well, I think the best thing that we can do is just not sue the governor, not try to get in the way of public health measures that are really necessary right now. We're already seeing a backlash from some Republicans in other states. I think I heard on your earlier news segment, perhaps from Republicans in this state, looking at thwarting efforts to coordinate with the President Biden's order on vaccines, which really could further delay any kind of economic recovery and also burden, you know, our hospitals. We know the way out of this pandemic, and we've demonstrated in Wisconsin that we're capable of doing this, but we still have a ways to go. And, you know, let's not make things worse. Let's let public health and let's let Department of Health Services, you know, continue to do the job that they should be doing. We don't need to politically micromanage this one and pander to anti-science views for electoral reasons.
What do you think of President Biden's vaccine mandate on employers?
I think the president's leading. Look, we had 30,000 people die in this country in September. We're estimated to have 40,000 die in this month, maybe more. More people have died of COVID than all of the people who died serving this country in wars in our country's history. That number should be sobering. And we ask for leadership in times like this to not only prevent future death, but all the other residual impacts economically on schools. Again, this is the way out of here. And we need to continue to look out for each other. We need to encourage, we need to expand access and, you know, create environments where we can limit places for the virus to go. But we have a long ways to go. I think the president is doing the right thing, and maybe there'll be some pushback early, but I think he'll be judged as leading. And I'm grateful to have a president who is.
Representative Gordon Hintz leads Democrats in the Assembly as we talk through pressing issues at the Capitol. What questions do you have for the Democratic minority leader? What letter grade would you give the state legislature on how it is doing to fight COVID in Wisconsin? Do you live in Oshkosh? How are businesses doing in the district? Join in 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're touching down on a range of issues moving through the Capitol, getting your take as well. Assembly Democrat Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh is on the line. As the partisan fight over redrawing the state's political boundaries wends its way through the courts, what should be the role of the state Supreme Court in redistricting? What are you watching for out of these lawsuits? Are you worried about the tight timeline this year as the census data arrived late? What legislative proposals are you watching closely? 800-642-1234. Representative Hintz is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's take a look here at this election audit, a new audit of the 2020 presidential election results. It's being pushed by your colleague, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and said it would cost at least $680,000. What do you make of this audit?
Well, not much. It's incredibly disappointing. And I think, you know, Republicans all around the country had a choice to make, especially after January 6th. You know, were they going to, you know, stand with President Trump in this kind of cynical attempt to put the idea out there that the election was stolen, breed distrust and undermining our democracy? Or were we going to move on, recognize the election was one of the safest and most secure we've had on record? And of course, that's from the President Trump's own Department of Justice. And it looks like, you know, when Robin Voss went to go bow down to the president when they met on this, that, you know, they're going to throw money at this and they're going to continue to perpetuate this idea to people that the election was stolen, despite no evidence or evidence to the contrary. I think what people need to understand is, you know, this isn't just a crazy egomaniac ex-president. This is a well-funded, well-coordinated effort with more cynical goals than just repressing voter turnout in the future. It's really about undermining democracy going forward. If you look at things that are being done in Texas and other places, it's giving the legislature power to intervene in electoral outcomes, including overturning the results. And I think this is really kind of what they're setting the table for, you know, perhaps in future sessions.
We see a group of Republicans who want a full forensic, physical, and cyber audit. Do you know what that is and what it entails?
No, only in that it's, you know, based on the Arizona experience, pretty crazy. I mean, you had people there that were looking for fibers from, I don't know, some sort of Chinese influence or something, bamboo fibers, I guess, in the ballots. You know, it's an incredibly burdensome thing. If you talk to the clerks, and they're thankful that my Republican colleague, State Senator Kathy Bernier, held a hearing last week that did involve clerks that, from around the state, as well as the head of the Wisconsin Election Commission, to speak and explain these things and explain why our elections were safe and secure, and why a number of these rumors or conspiracies that are thrown out there by my pillow guy and others aren't true. But, you know, it's expensive, it's costly. And again, there's no reason for this right now other than the well-financed, well-coordinated effort to put this idea out there. When you say audit, forensic audit, counting the ballots, the longer that the investigation and all these things go out there, the more distrust is sown with the public and you lead them down this path, which of course is their goal. I mean, that's just it. The investigation, in all of this, that is the goal. There isn't an outcome. There isn't anything that's going to be produced. But as long as this goes on, it continues to, you know, move the conspiracy forward.
Moving on to redistricting now, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is asking the Supreme Court to take up the redistricting issue immediately rather than let it play out in lower courts. We're seeing multiple lawsuits. You know, what is the role of the high court in map drawing?
Well, I'm going to take the, you know, our court at its own, you know, word. I think they said in the spring that they didn't want to be involved or they shouldn't be involved in the map process under Justice Rogensack. And I hope that would be the case. I think things are a little different this time around because of the census debacle under President Trump that led to a delay in, you know, moving forward with the maps. But the bottom line is, if we are committed to a democracy that works for everyone, if we want a maps process that is fair, transparent, and nonpartisan, there's a way to do it. In fact, there's been a way to do it for a while. So instead of thinking about the path or the outcomes or whatnot, you know, why don't we commit right now at the front end? And I'm looking forward to what the Governor's Fair Maps Commission proposes. But let's start there and hold to that goal. And then let's run under fair maps and we can debate ideas and other things. But, you know, the fact that we're already starting with lawsuits, that we're already trying to determine the best legal court option to win the battle, seems to put the public last. And that's unfortunate if our goal is to, you know, have an accountable, workable democracy.
We're discussing a variety of issues with Representative Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh, leads Democrats in the State Assembly. You can join in 800-642-1234 with issues on your mind. Denise is joining us from Washburn this morning. Hi, Denise.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. I am a school bus driver for Washburn, Wisconsin, and I've been working really hard with my children on the school bus to stay en masse. They're all doing really well. Last week, towards the end of the week, I received notice that there were going to be two children on the bus that were going to be allowed on the bus without masks. I requested my employer and the superintendent of the Washburn School District to please find alternate transportation for those children so, yes, they can still attend school, but yet we can keep our bus as safe as we possibly can. So what I'm looking for is I'm wondering how I can get support. Right now I have taken a protest that, because these children are going to be allowed only, they're only asking for the morning route to school. I have been in protest, so as of not taking that route, to see if I can put a little pressure on them to help out and find alternate transportation. But I am continuing to take my afternoon route. So I'm looking for how can I get support when my belief is that transportation on buses are mandatory masking.
Denise, thank you for sharing your story. Representative Hintz.
Well, first off, thank you, you know, for playing your vital role in your position. And I know we have a shortage of bus drivers that's increasingly becoming a story around the country or in state and country. This is one that's playing out in local school districts and in other places out there. And of course, we know that you know, the vaccines are most effective and masks are most effective when everybody wears them. And unfortunately, those decisions are probably reflective of their parents' politics. You know, the mask issue is something that there's obviously some fatigue on, and we've had past battles over the last year and a half. You know, I'm happy to kind of see what can be done related to the state level, although these things have been somewhat managed at the local level because of on the unfortunate divisiveness and other things. You know, there's a lot of talking at each other and a lot of people kind of dug in. I just, you know, I wish at least for those parents, there was a way to, you know, get them to recognize that, you know, we're all looking out for each other when we do things like wear masks, get vaccinated, and especially for kids that can't get vaccinated that may be on your bus, the masking of everyone is more important if we're trying to limit the transmission, not just between the kids, but from those kids to people that are either immunocompromised or more at risk. So I'm sorry, I don't have an easy answer other than I certainly support your position and hope that your board can find a remedy.
Last question here. We're less than a minute away. Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, one of eight military facilities receiving Afghan refugees arriving in the U.S. as part of Operation Allies Welcome. Is Wisconsin prepared for this operation?
In my conversations, in brief ones that I've had with the administration, I mean, yes, but this is, this is big. I forget what we're approaching, if it was 10,000 or more, but you're talking, bigger than a lot of cities in terms of there. And we're, dealing with both some of the, health issues, making sure that we're getting all of their needs, taken care of. And there's an abundance of resources and different groups out there that are doing everything possible to smooth the transition. I think if anybody put themselves in the position, these refugees, the challenges that we have out there. But look, Wisconsin has always been a destination and always been a successful place for refugees to transition. We celebrated Hmong Labor Day Fest, 10 days ago. And in talking with some of the Hmong individuals in my community, they talked about this experience being very comparable to that.
Well, we have to end it there. Thank you for joining us. Gordon Hintz, Democratic Minority Leader of the Assembly. News is next.